Thank you so much for tuning in to the Hillside Church Podcast. We believe God loves you, your past doesn't define you, and that God has good days ahead. Thanks for listening to the sermon. Our hope is that it equips you, inspires you, and encourages you in your faith.
All right, how to church. Why don't you say that with me? How to church. Everybody, we're going to start a series, and I realize the word church is a noun. I'm doing a little bit of play. It's not necessarily grammatically correct, but I want to talk about how to church. This is going to be something that I believe we could all use as a refresher, whether you've been in church, been a seasoned believer for a long season, or whether you're new to church, new to faith, or maybe you're here and it's been a while, somebody, and you just daring to step back in. What an incredible, courageous step. We've all made that step at some point in time. We didn't feel right, didn't know what to do, and church popped into our mind. We thought that would be a good next step. Well, I want to talk about very simply the next few weeks. I want to talk about five ways to get the most out of church. But here's the thing. You can take these anywhere you go. Any church. This is going to be across the board. Also want to let you know, in case for some reason you thought I have all the answers on church life, I'm going to let you know right now, I do not have all the answers on church life. I'll also let you know, it's a little tricky when you get to the Bible. I know that there are churches out there who, you know, they live by this creed. We are correct, you are not. And you can kind of pick that up in the culture, like we're the only right church. You won't hear that at Hillside, and if you do, you can email me, paul@hillsidechurch.us, and I'll get on it, okay? Just kidding. But I do mean this. We believe that there's far more across the board that we can agree with, that unifies us as a church. Man, Jesus saves, he forgives, he delivers, he heals, he makes us whole. The mission of the church, the heart of the church, is that you would step into all that God has. But we also have to say that sometimes church life, we need a little refresher. We need some vision. We need some reminding. And so on one hand, these are going to be very simple to understand. But like a good doctor who's told you 30 times after 30 visits how to eat to get healthy, you understand it, but you know it's a struggle. All right, so these five things are simple to understand, but I would say they're going to take faith, intentionality, trusting in God, trusting in others to cultivate in our lives. So we've entitled it How to Church. Come on, tell your neighbor right now, I'm going to learn to church. Just say, I'm going to learn to church. I'm going to learn. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I thought I knew how to church. But five ways to get the most out of church life. Today, it's simple, as it will be this whole series. Number one, I'm going to talk about today, attend. Attend. A-T-T-E-N-D. Come on, somebody. Say, we get in deep waters today. It's like my Planet Fitness account. You just attend Planet Fitness. Something's going to happen. Maybe not the first time. Maybe not the second time. Maybe 365 times. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. You just attend. What a difference it can make. What a difference it can make. I think of Psalm 92. This verse popped in today, not in my preparation during the week, but today I was reminded of a wonderful scripture, Psalm 92, 12 through 13. It talks about the righteous, and it talks a little bit about what they'll do in their life. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. In today's English, the righteous gonna experience some really good things. 13, planted in the house of the Lord. Come on, just turn to your neighbor last time here and say, be planted, be planted, be planted, be planted. Here or at a local church. But I'm going to tell you, something's going to turn around when you get planted. When you be planted in the house of the Lord. Here's a word I love. They will flourish in the courts of our God. One more time. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. I don't know if you're familiar. I do realize as a pastor, there are certain algorithms where everything pastors should look at comes up on my feed. My feed is pastoral life, church life, Liverpool Football Club. Somebody, that is the extent, which they are leading right now in the middle of one of their biggest games of the season. Somebody, that's for free. But here's the deal. In one of my pastoral life feeds, the Pew Research Academy did a study. And there is an article on pewresearch.org. And the opening line of that study says this: people who regularly attend a house of worship are more likely to be happy. Isn't that something? More likely to be happy. Maybe not the first time, maybe not the second time, but down the line, who regularly attend a house of worship. Isn't that a beautiful picture of Psalm 92? Pew Research isn't just, you know, just doing a simple survey. They do in-depth studies. Now, granted, that was from 2019, pre-COVID, everybody. But it's still a significant understanding. That isn't just in America, by the way. That was taken of 35 different countries across the globe. The people who have attended regularly a house of worship just have a joy, just have a sense of hope. Something powerful happens when we attend. And I'm well aware that in this room we got all sorts of people who have learned how to church, somebody, and we've had all sorts of different experiences. I thank God that I was basically born in the church. I was drugged to church. I was seat belted in, locked, can't get out of the car to church. I was told that you got to be in church. In college, my parents would check up. Hey, you been to church? That's when I learned to lie. Absolutely, I've been to church. No. Y'all want to rate that one? That one flopped. No. All right. But we all coming from a different background. Sometimes we're drugged to church. For some of us today, that's a big step for you. It's been a while. Some things happened in the church, and now you're learning to trust the church. You know it's something you should be a part of. You know it's something that you should regularly participate in. But something major may have happened in your life, and the church has become a struggle. For others, it's not. It's just you got busy. You got distracted. And isn't it funny? I don't know about your life, but I know about my life. Sometimes the things you prioritize in the midst of life's busyness, a year can turn into a few years. A few years can turn into a few decades, can't it? The same can happen in our church life. I want to encourage you to get the most out of church. This is like hotel.com, Captain Obvious. Attend church. He's so profound this morning. That's incredible. But you'd be amazed. I want to tell you, to get the most out of church, number one, attend. I think in such a day and age that we live in, it's good to bring this to the surface every once in a while. It's good to think about this. There is he's gone on to be with the Lord, but there was a British pastor, theologian, author. He wrote something in 1982. Tremendous preacher, and he wrote significant preaching books. Some of you may have heard of him. His name's John Stott. And he has this quote. I want you to keep it in your mind. It's from 1982. And he says this: it's difficult to imagine the world in the year 2000, by which time versatile microprocessors are likely to be as common as simple calculators are today. This will lead to the probable reduction of human contact, as the new electronic network renders personal relationship ever less necessary. In such a dehumanized society, the fellowship of the local church will become increasingly important, whose members meet one another and talk and listen to one another in person rather than on screen. In this human context of mutual love, the speaking and hearing of the word of God is also likely to become more necessary for the preservation of humanness, not less. Something significant about attending a church. Attending a church is one of the best ways to get the most out of church life. You don't have to just take my word for it. Let's play this quick video of one of our members.
So one Sunday morning, I got up kind of late and thought, I need to go to church somewhere, but I didn't know where to go. So Google's right there with you. So I Googled, okay, where's the churches near where I live? And a whole bunch was listed here. So I started scrolling up. Okay, what's the closest one that's near me? So I was like, Hillside. And I looked on and it said, you belong here. So I'm like, okay. So well, okay, I have to Google myself out of everywhere because I'm still new to the area. So I did that and I come down here and parked in the parking lot, come inside, and seeing the smiles on everyone's face, I knew it was different the moment I walked in and was greeted and hugged and said welcome. And so I come into the sanctuary and was going to find a place to sit down, and I met a lovely lady, Mary, and she was standing there and she's like, welcome. And I looked and she had an elephant necklace on. Now my story is, I've been collecting elephants my whole life and I love them and cherish them, and to see a woman of God with that on her neck, I knew I was supposed to be here, and I'm so thankful for that moment. And I really have enjoyed every week, every moment that I can come to worship with the family here at the church, and I feel like family. So for me personally, I had been around negative people. And to be around the church family here, we are positive. I mean, we love God, and I can see that. And being able to be around positive people, coming to church on Sunday, or maybe coming to Bible study on Wednesday, and being able to just fellowship with other folks just like me, I feel like I do belong here. Hi, I'm Joanne, and I'm so thankful to be a part of the local church.
Yes. Wonderful, wonderful word, Joanne. Amen, amen. How to church. Attending church is critical for our lives. We do believe that. We do believe in the beauty of the local church and all of its diversity, all of its intergenerational connectedness, man. God has set up the body of Christ to make a difference. And I know last Sunday was Easter Sunday. Well, about 40 days after Easter Sunday, significant number, significant season in the life of the church, we get the beginning of the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 2, we're not going to dive into it now, but we see a significant outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we are, you need the Holy Spirit, church, somebody. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and the equipping, empowerment of the Holy Spirit, but this isn't that message. At the end, though, of Acts chapter 2, something significant is taking place in the life of the church. And I want to read these verses together as they'll help us through this series. Acts chapter 2, 42 through 48. It says this, kind of the fruit of what was taking place, the byproduct of what God had birthed in the church. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. saved. Beautiful, beautiful passage of scripture. Beginning of Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon his people and baptizes them, fills them, empowers them for mission. Peter gets up and preaches. 3,000 people come to Christ, commit their life to him, go public in baptism. It's a remarkable, remarkable story. And the life of the church is birthed and things begin to be transformed. But you see, the people had an intentionality to keep on doing what God had started in their life. And it doesn't say they all went their separate ways, and each man and woman attended individually to their own blessing. You need a private life with God. There is no doubt about that. We promote a private life with God. But there's something about a public life with God too. Being surrounded by people who can encourage you and who can equip you, who can serve you, and in turn, you can serve them. Something glorious about the local church. Today, I want to end with three quick thoughts on what I have found profoundly, but also, as Joanne mentioned in the video and what others have said, we could have done 30, but I'll limit it to three things, byproducts about attending church. Number one, attending church is a pathway for spiritual growth. It's a pathway for spiritual growth. It's not necessarily everybody's first step, but it is many people's first step. We affirm that. Many people we have found in this very room have felt a nudge from heaven. They may have listened to a song. They may have met a coworker. A spouse may have reached out. A friend may have reached out. And it's kind of the unspoken between them. But a lot of times, the longing of people's heart is a longing that comes from heaven, that God is calling them to step into relationship with him. And praise God that for some people, they don't know where to begin. And what do? They show up to church. They meet other people. They hear the message that God loves you, that your sins can be forgiven, that you have a hope and a future, that no matter how down and out you may be, we know that God meets you in that moment. And they begin to take steps of spiritual growth. I think about even in my own father's life, it's his story to tell, but it is somewhat funny. I remember him and my mom as they were in their dating season. They weren't married yet. They were dating. And one of the things you do in South Africa in Cape Town, you go to the beach, somebody. And they were sunbathing on the beach, and this really hyped up evangelist was walking around the beach. He's like, man, do you need to get right with God? Give your life to God. And my dad, lying, sunbathing, in love, says, sir, I get more out of the bubbles in that ocean than I do with what you have to say to me. Well, okay. But I think about when God draws a heart, no wall can get in the way. And I think about how that young man planted a seed in my father's heart, a seed in my mom's heart. And over time, the Lord would draw them unto himself. We would call that spiritual growth, spiritual development. There's something powerful about attending a life-giving local church. You can't get beyond it. It's like anything of importance in your life you participate in, somebody. You begin to be intentional about it. It begins to move from the lower rungs all the way up to more significant rungs. I was hearing just this past week of something that's taking place in England where atheism and agnosticism for the last 20 years have profoundly influenced that culture. But I read about a revival that's taking place in the intellectuals of the day. We're talking about the people that have propagated atheism, propagated agnosticism. God's got them. That you don't always know how, you don't always know why, but miracle story after miracle story of the most elite intellectually based scientists, they can't get away from the mystery, the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. And so what do? They go back to their roots for many of them. They start attending church. Can I tell you, there's power in proximity. As Joanne was saying, you get the right voices in your life, the right people in your life. things begin to happen. Things begin to be transformed in your life. I say this, one of my favorite one-liners is, the voices in your life determine the vision for your life. Paul, the apostle, would write to his church in Corinth, one of the churches he started. He said, hey, be careful. Bad company corrupts good character. I like to flip that. Encouraging company encourages good. It's what God can do in the midst. And attending is a vital piece to that. And so attending church is a pathway for spiritual growth. Prayer, worship, teaching, serving, it gives us a sense of spiritual direction, a sense of purpose beyond ourselves, a moment to connect with God corporately together in worship and prayer and communion and baptism and prayer after service and the message itself. Our hope is that a seed can be planted. Maybe today I'm coming alongside just watering what has been planted in your life. But God wants the best for your life. God wants the best for your life. And we firmly believe that that is in relationship with Him. But we also know that that is in relationship with others. That blessed are those, flourishing are those, healed and whole are those who can push through in times the hurt, push through at times the pain, push through at times the baggage, and plant themselves in a local life-giving church. You'll flourish. You'll flourish. And in case you didn't know it, there's no perfect church. But by golly, we're doing all we can to be as healthy as possible. And you want to be part of a life-giving church. It's a way to spiritual growth. In fact, you want me to get real deep with you. When somebody is new to the faith, and sometimes they'll see me on the way out. Man, I gave my heart to Christ. I rededicated my life. This is what I know God has called me. I want to be changed. And they're like, what should I do next? Oh, show up next week. No. I want like 10. No. One step. Just come next Sunday. 10:30. 10:25 if you want a donut and coffee. Just come next Sunday. But I'll tell you, something supernatural begins to happen. You connect that first Sunday with a second, with a third, with a fourth, 4 months, 4 years, 45 years, somebody down the line. You'll begin to see a trail of fruit in your life. Consistency builds character. And character, it's worth everything, I feel like, these days. Attending church is a pathway for spiritual growth. Attending church is a pathway for community. It oftentimes is new associations, new relationships, new friendships, new voices in your life. People who can very much help you materially, but also help you spiritually. This is what is happening in Acts chapter 2. We have these people who committed their life to Christ. Committed their life, man, he changed everything. And they're filled with the Holy Spirit and they start fellowshipping, potlucking, you know, getting together, learning about each other's lives. C.S. Lewis says, the moment of friendship is, you struggle with that too. Power of authenticity. And it can take not 100, but just 1, 2 connections. You'll notice a community begins to build. It begins to transform your inner world, your inner life. And in turn, can I tell you, for those thinking about my father, it can begin to change the generations. Begin to transform not only me and my sisters, but then our children, then our children's children. I thank God for the legacy of lives that were changed. My in-laws, Kelly's parents, remarkable transformation in their life. It's the local church. It's what the church can do. It's the vessel God brings into our life. And it forms a community. Psalm 27, 17. This is one of those verses, you know, you just didn't know you knew it. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. The church, it's an incredible pathway to spiritual growth. The church, it's an incredible pathway to community. And in case you hadn't noticed, God will use community to grow you spiritually. It's the beauty of a fence. I'm working on a sermon. I'll share it sometime. The beauty of being offended. Oh, it's so amazing. I love being offended. It shows the areas in my life that I need to grow. I mean, the people are always wrong, but it shows areas in my life that I need to grow. Like, I am always right. I am never wrong. And being offended just recognizes how stupid people, I mean, how much. See the tension going on in our. That's right. But I'll tell you, it's so funny. It's so funny because sometimes people get offended and they run. It's like, you always have that option. I always have that option. We always have that option. Well, one of the beautiful things Paul keeps telling almost every letter, put on the mind of Christ. Put on the mind of Christ. Put on the mind of Christ and forgive. 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 Like, here's a promise. You could take this any arena of life. If you've got breath in your lungs, you'll get offended. That's just part of life. But I think about it as iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another. That's what offense does. It sharpens us spiritually. We get recognized. We're like, ooh, now the Holy Spirit can be a healer in my life. I've never known him to be a comforter. I've only known him to be a convictor. Well, now that I'm offended, a little bit of hurt going on, Lord, now you can heal. Now I'm going to know you as the healer. Now, I'm not saying, listen, you go on some agenda to start offending people. No. Don't mishear that. Accidental offenses versus intentional, everybody. But that's part of what community does. It's part of, if you've been in sports in any form or fashion, you know that there is actually gain in the pain. That you know there's just something about pushing through it. Just working through it with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the help of trusted voices. And community marks your life. That some of us were so loud with the inner critic that just stepping into a room and hearing God is for us, we're like, okay, I can do this. Oh my gosh, you know, I could do this. Some of us, our inner critic is so loud, or some of us are so wounded. Some of us, our family of origin never accepted us, never gave us any lick of promise. We thought we were the worst of the worst. And then you come in, you attend. I'm going to attend church. You attend church. You start hearing how God loves you. This is what he does. He saves you. He sets you free. You start looking around. You're like, if he can do it for them, by golly, I know he can do it for me. No, I'm kidding. But you look around and you're like, wow, this is the beauty of community. One of my favorite thoughts on a Sunday morning, when I have it, is as I'm driving to church. And I think about, my goodness, the time zone we're in. And for maybe roughly the last 22 hours across the globe, people have been gathering under the name of Jesus Christ. Laying their burdens down, walking through their fears, walking through their hardest moment. I can't wait for heaven on one hand to just get to hear the stories of life change. Hear all the good that the church has been doing. Hear all the hope that the church has been propagating. Even as imperfect as it may have been, God uses it as a vessel for community. It can change everything. And finally, attending church is a pathway for encouragement. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I know the church can be a pathway for a lot of other things. But I want to encourage you just to lift your eyes of your soul, so to speak. Lift the eyes of your soul and to see what God is going to do in and through your life. You know, today we have our newcomers lunch. It's one of the ways we invite people to connect with us at Hillside. But I also want to tell you this. There's a local church for you somewhere. I hope that it's here. At least I think I do. I hope that it's here. The reality is God has a local church for you. I want to tell you. He has a community. He has a group of believers for this season of life, for this leg of life's journey. And I want to tell you, there's testimony after testimony after testimony. Y'all are the stories being written. that after a season when you're planted, may not have happened after 1 week. For some of you, it did. For others of you, you've started seeing Sunday after Sunday, moment after moment, God begins to heal, begins to restore. You're moving into a place of flourishing. For some of you, you've walked through the greatest pains of your life. Not alone, but surrounded. That's the beauty of a local church. I want to encourage you, any of you downhearted, discouraged, have been hurt by church in your past, can I tell you, you're not alone. We've all experienced it. And I'm not minimizing your pain, not by any means. But I do want to encourage you. Let the Holy Spirit, over time, minister to your soul. That he, if you can receive this, will resurrect what has been dead in your life. I want to encourage you, 5 ways to get the most out of church. Show up. Attend. We'll cover the next over these coming weeks. But thank you for today. Thank you for this moment. Thank you. I don't know what mindset you arrived in this morning. But can I tell you, God knows it. God sees it. And I believe he's going to be the lifter of your head. I believe that your best days are ahead. I believe that no matter what past you brought in this place, God is the one who wipes it clean, gives you new life, and will move you into a place of wholeness and freedom. That we're not just a heaven-only church. We believe Jesus said eternal life is relationship with me. That's what you can step into, walking with him. Amen? Let's pray. Close. I do want to pray. If you're here and you need relationship with Jesus, you got to start it. You got to start it. And many of us will tell you, don't try to get all the T's crossed. Don't try to dot every single I. Take a leap of faith, somebody. Step in. Now's the moment. Why delay a year? Why delay a decade? Irrespective of joining Hillside, coming to the newcomers lunch, irrespective, we don't know what the future holds, but we know the one who holds our future. And you can step into the love of God. It's a person, it's his son, Jesus, who loves you, who sees you, and he has the best face of mercy. He has the best face of compassion. Your understanding of God may be old school, like Santa Claus. It may be old school, like punishment, like that teacher who always kicked you out of class. I'm here to announce to you, Jesus, we get this out of the Gospel of John, Jesus is the embodiment of the Father God. And on people's worst day, he looked them in the eye, said, here's the deal. I'm not condemning you. Stop condemning yourself. Go and sin no more, and I'm going to help you. You can be saved right now. Listen, here's what's wild. We believe your entire life direction can shift right now. Give your life to Christ. Say this with me. If you know you need to give it, say it with me in your heart, out loud. God, I need you. I need to be saved. Father, I welcome you on the inside. I admit that I'm a sinner in deep need of the mercy and grace of God. Forgive my past. I give it to you, Jesus, Savior of the world. I welcome you on the inside. I trust you with my present. And perhaps most of all, God, I give you my future. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with abundant life that I'm going to follow you all my days. In Jesus' holy name. And Lord, for all of us under the sound of my voice, those taking in online, have mercy on us, God. Have mercy on us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit in these days and times that we live. Lord, at times it may seem like our flesh is weak, but we know that our spirit is strong. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Would you multiply our works, our words, as we live as beloved children of you, Lord, may we reach and save the world with the goodness of God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.